Again, just want to remind you the symbolism of it. And so the light, Jesus is coming into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Advent, we're anticipating Jesus coming. And then the purple candles symbolize the royalty of Jesus, that he is king, that he is bringing a kingdom of joy. And that's why the pink candle represents joy, that he is bringing a kingdom of everlasting life. That's why the wreath is made of evergreen. And then a wreath, circular, it's an unending kingdom. And so we anticipate the coming of Jesus, bringing his kingdom in all of its fullness, all of the joy, all of the life that Jesus has to bring to us. And so that's our Advent reading today. And those are the candles. And our scripture, very similar to what we just heard, only it's over in the Gospel of Matthew. And so turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, and I'll pick it up at verse 18. And so Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your presence with us, your ministry to us already in so many ways. And as we turn our attention, especially to your word, we pray that you would speak afresh to us. Help us to hear you, to receive you, to obey you. I pray that you would accomplish your will. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, this is a little bit, I don't know, kind of a clashing of the seasons. Can I say it that way? Because we just lit our fourth Advent candle. And Advent isn't really about anticipating Christmas. It's not about anticipating the birth of Jesus. What Advent is about is anticipating the return of Jesus. Amen. And so we kind of have two seasons here. We have Advent season, which anticipates the return of Jesus. We have the Christmas season, which celebrates the birth of Jesus. And so our passage that we read today, it's a little bit strange, because what's the passage about? It's about the birth of Jesus. So we would expect this passage kind of next Sunday. Okay, but the collective church has said, no, this is the passage to read for today. And I think the point that is trying to be made is that the reason why we believe that Jesus is coming is because he came. Let me say it again. The reason why we believe in the second coming of Jesus, the reason why we believe that Jesus is coming again, is because Jesus came in the first place. And what we see is that God has kept his promise in terms of Jesus coming to be our Savior. And so we can trust that God is going to keep his promise still in terms of sending Jesus to return and to establish his kingdom in all of its fullness and to make all things new. And so this is how these two seasons kind of, I don't know, clash, if you will, how they kind of build on each other. What this text is doing here today instead of next week, it's a huge reminder that we believe that Jesus is coming again because Jesus came in the first place. Now, let me go a little bit further in our kind of Advent work here. So I wasn't here last week, but I got to tune in on Facebook and listen to, you know, the wonderful sermon, the message, the powerful message you heard from Pastor D. And I've been thinking about, you know, this communication between Jesus and John the Baptist through the disciples. And you know the story that John's disciples went to Jesus and said, John wants to know, are you the one to come or should we be looking for someone else? And Jesus performed miracles in front of them and said, go back and report to John all these things. And yet John is still in prison. And his prayers haven't been answered, so to speak. And Jesus says this, blessed is the one who does not stumble, who does not fall away on account of me. And I remember Pastor D in the message asking, has any one of us ever about stumbled over Jesus? And I think what I'm reading in the passage this morning is that Joseph was at a stumbling point. That he could have very easily stumbled, fallen away over Jesus. Because, you know, he's got his bride. And he's got a life plan. And he's thinking how this is going to go and that she's been faithful to him and he's been faithful to her. And they're not technically, in our language, they're not technically married, but their engagement was so permanent that in order to get unengaged, you don't just call it off. You don't just ask for the ring back. In order to get unengaged, you had to get divorced. Now, that's just kind of crazy because we don't think anybody has to get divorced unless they're already married. Can you imagine having to go through kind of the work of divorce while you're just engaged? But that's how permanent their engagements were. It was a pledge. And so while they had not come together yet, while they were not officially married yet, that commitment to each other was so permanent, so deep, so binding that you can't just call it off. You can't just say, hey, Mary, you're pregnant. Give me the ring back. That you'd have to divorce her. And so here is Joseph, a righteous man, thinking that he's marrying a righteous woman, and she's pregnant. And so he's going to do the right thing. He's going to try to do it with class. He's going to divorce her, go through the paperwork, get it all done, but do it quietly. He's not going to submit her to public humiliation. And worst case scenario, she could be put to death for cheating on him. And he's not going to go through with that. And so he is going to just quietly let her go because obviously she was unfaithful. But where'd that baby come from? Yeah. From the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know how that worked. Miracle. But the one who created us in the first place was able to knit together in her womb a child conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't know that. Now, you're sleeping. You get this dream. You have this angel show up telling you, hey, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. The child conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And you wake up the next morning. What are you thinking? I'm never going to eat that pizza again. I mean, I would be thinking I had a bad dream, a nightmare or something, to where that wasn't an angel. I was imagining all that thing. And yet somehow, the truth got through to Joseph that the one that Mary was conceiving in her womb was of the Holy Spirit and not another man. And so that changed Joseph's whole course. And he didn't stumble over that. But instead, he took Mary as his wife and he took Jesus as his son. Can you imagine what he must have faced? Especially as she begins to show. And like, you're still going to marry her? And if you dare to tell them, that, well, it was the Holy Spirit who did it, what are your friends going to think? Like, yeah, you're buying that line? And so he could have stumbled again, and he didn't. And he went through whatever scorn, whatever ridicule, whatever he had to go through, he went through it, and he took Mary as his wife, and he took Jesus as his son. He didn't stumble. So I've just been thinking a little bit about that. And then I've been thinking even more, you know, about this virgin birth and how it's emphasized that the child that Mary is pregnant with, the one that's knit together in her womb, not from Joseph, not from another man, but conceived of the Holy Spirit. And so we have the virgin birth. And, you know, you're kind of thinking, okay, you know, why is that so important? Why is it so important that Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit rather than being conceived by Joseph or another man? And so I've been thinking about that some this week as well. And just thinking in terms of, okay, what if? What if Jesus was actually the biological son of Joseph? Then what? He'd just be one more child of Adam. Just one more child of Adam. And if he's one more child of Adam, he's going to be just like Adam, and he's going to be just like you and me. And he's going to live rebellious against God. And he will live fallen, the way that we live fallen. See, men had been fathering children since Adam. Generation after generation after generation. And was there ever a Savior born? No. Every single one fell. Even David, who we like to highlight as putting his trust in God as he went against Goliath, even David fell to sexual immorality, to murder. And so even when you look at, quote unquote, the best of men, everyone fallen. And what kind of children did they father? Fallen. Every single one, a child of fallen Adam. And so when I think about what God is doing here in terms of Mary conceiving by the Holy Spirit coming upon her, when I think about all that, it's like this is intervention. That God is stepping in and intervening and saying, I can't let this go on any longer. That we just can't have one more child of fallen Adam. That there's no hope in that. And so this huge act of intervention, so that one could be born who's fully human, he's of Mary, but at the same time, he's not a fallen Adam. And so that this intervention takes place so that through this one, we can experience salvation. Amen. And a huge interruption, a huge intervention in terms of generation after generation after generation of simply being fallen children of Adam. Think a little bit more. What was the name that Jesus was? Well, I gave it away. What was the name that the child was to be given? Jesus. There you go. So just making sure you're awake. So, yeah, Jesus. And what does the name Jesus mean? God saves. And did you catch it? Look back with me to where he gets the news about the name. We'll pick it up at 120. But after Joseph had considered this, divorcing her, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Why that name? Because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Think about that. God interrupts this huge intervention to where if we just have one more fallen son of Adam, we're just going to have one more sinner. And so God interrupts that and intervenes, and Jesus is born, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and named Jesus. Why? Because this is the one that will actually save us. Not just from another empire, not just from, you know, a lion or a bear, but save us from our sins. Save us from ourselves. Save us from the guilt of our sins. Save us from our waywardness in terms of our propensity to sin. So that it seems like we're just bent on sinning. That even when we don't want to sin, we sin. And about the time we think that we stopped a bad habit, we get arrogant about it. And now we're dealing with another sin. Now, instead of the sin of that habit, we got the sin of pride. And we think we're better than everybody else is still doing it. We are just bent towards self-centered sinfulness. And Jesus is born to save us from our sins. Sins of actions, sins of attitudes, sins of self-centeredness, sins of rebelliousness against God, sins of refusing to trust in God, sins of what you name it. Saves us from our sins. Because he was without sin. And he faced every temptation that we face. I know these are different times and different days, and you could maybe name off a specific temptation Jesus didn't actually have to face. But at the root of it, he had to face the temptation of putting himself first. He had to face the temptation of feeling entitled. He had to face the temptation of feeling sorry for himself. He had to face the temptation of trying to make God serve him instead of him serving and trusting in God. He had to face the temptation of taking shortcuts that weren't right, as if somehow that could avoid pain. He faced all the temptations, and he was victorious. Not one more fallen child of Adam. Jesus, God intervened and born one into our place so that we could no longer be simply fallen children of Adam, but through him we could actually become victorious children of God. Amen. I think that's what the incarnation is all about. I think that's what the virgin birth is all about. That God is kind of interrupting generation after generation after generation. This intervention that had been promised since the first fall. Do you remember the words to the serpent? Back in Genesis 3, God said, after he cursed the serpent, that you're going to be the lowest of the low, and you're going to crawl on your belly, and you're going to eat dust. God went on to say, I'm going to put enmity between your offspring and the offspring of the woman. And the seed of the woman is going to crush your head. And yeah, you'll be striking at his heels, but he will crush your head. Jesus is the offspring of the woman. Again, I just wonder, because the man fell. And so, through the Spirit, the woman conceives and gives birth to a son who's not of that line of fallen Adam. This child is going to be victorious. And through his victory, all of us who are fallen can be victorious. He saves us from our sins. And you know the story. He goes to the cross and dies for our sins, becoming an atoning sacrifice so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have peace with God, and even more so that we can be transformed. And so that by faith we can die with him and receive his spirit, so that we are empowered to live a new victorious life instead of just continuing to be the fallen children of Adam. The prophecy was fulfilled. And so, well, let me just read it. Matthew writes it better than I can say it. Verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. God coming to be with us. In our fallenness, we couldn't walk with God. In our fallenness, we couldn't go to God. In our fallenness, we wouldn't dare show up before God. But God comes to be with us. Really, isn't this what God has always kind of been up to? Because if I go back to the garden, right, and that first fall, after they fell and they realized that they were naked and they were ashamed and they clothed themselves, what did they do?
They hid.
Yeah. And what happened next? The Lord God came walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? That's an invitation to come out. Why? Because God wants to be with us. And here we have God coming to us in this babe, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And everybody's going to recognize that, wow, in this one, God has actually come like never before to actually be with us. We couldn't go to God. We are running from God. We are hiding to God. But God came to us. Every now and then I'll have students talk about how we got to meet God halfway. Got to meet God in the middle. I just wonder, what church have you been going to? Because God comes to meet us where we are. In our place. We can't get to God's place. The only way we can know God is for God to come to us where we are. And so, born of the Virgin Mary, named Jesus, he will save us from our sins. Called Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, God comes to us not to destroy us.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
That's an important lesson to learn. I think that's probably why Adam was hiding. He had so failed God that he couldn't believe that God would come to him to restore him. He had quit trusting God. And so all he could think about was that God must be calling him out to destroy him, to simply off him from the planet. No, God comes not to destroy us, but to restore us. Comes to save us. That's why he's named Jesus instead of Destroyer. He comes to save us. Save us from our sins and to be with us in the journey. I mean, that's just wonderful news. You know, it's one thing to be forgiven and to kind of be saved from your sins and you're no longer held guilty. But if God's not with you, what's going to happen? Yeah. you're going to end up right back in the same place. That you're not going to have the strength to change on your own. And life is not easy. And we're not promised that there won't be hardships or trials. And when we go through those hardships and trials, it can be difficult to stay faithful. Because just like Jesus going to the cross, there's the enemy, there's the tempter saying, hey, Jesus, just bow down to me, forget the cross, I'll make you ruler of the world. The tempter is always trying to give us an easy way out when life gets hard. But it's an unfaithful way out. And it's a deceptive way out. Yeah. And it's a way out, well, there's no way. It's actually a way to destruction. But God with us helps us to recognize the tricks of the enemy, helps us to recognize lies for what they are. God with us helps us to keep trusting in the Lord, helps us to keep doing right, helps us to follow through. And so he comes to save us, and he comes to be with us to see us all the way through the journey of transformation, all the way really unto glory. God with us. So again, I'm just kind of thinking about all this week and this passage and kind of this, I don't know, clash, if you will, of Christmas and Advent and the virgin birth and Jesus, he will save us from our sins, and God with us. And in the midst of this, I become a grandfather. And I love my son-in-law. I love both my son-in-laws. But only one of them has blessed me with grandchildren so far. But I love Chuck James, and many of you have met Chuck James, and he's a great guy. Just wonderful. But you know, if Cade and Callum, if their only hope is being children of Chuck James, then they're just children of fallen Adam. I mean, you see these baby boys and they're miraculous. And you have all of these hopes for them. And yet you know, the greatest Chuck James is, they're children of fallen Adam. And that I'm a child of fallen Adam. And that if that's all we are, we really don't have a lot of hope. We just don't. That the death awaits. But I've been thinking, there's more hope than that. That Jesus, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, God intervenes, so that Cade and Callum, they don't have to be merely children of fallen Adam. They can be children of the victorious God. Amen. They can be children of God and live victoriously. And that's where the hope comes in. And that's where my hope is, that Chuck James and Rachel will teach them that and communicate that and raise them in that truth. Amen. In the midst of a world of lies. Yes. And that's where I have hope for you and me. Amen. That's some of the best news of Christmas right there. Yes. That we have this hope that we don't have to be merely children of fallen Adam. That because of Jesus, because of what God did in terms of intervening, so that no longer do we have to merely be children of Adam, but we can be victorious children of God through this Son that is born to Mary. Amen. It's a new humanity. And through faith in him, we are welcomed into that humanity. And changed and forgiven. And no longer living life on our own, doomed to fall like Adam. Yeah. but living life with God with us, forgiven and destined to victory like Jesus. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we first confess our fallenness. Every one of us, we admit that we're simply fallen children of fallen Adam. And left to ourselves, all we do is fall. We thank you today that you didn't leave us to ourselves, but you came to us to be with us. We thank you for your tremendous act of intervention.
Thank you, Lord.
That in the fullness of time, as you saw fit, as only you knew the time and the rightness of it, that you sent your Spirit upon Mary that she might conceive and give birth to one who's not a child of fallen Adam, but your child. We thank you for your desire to come to us, not to destroy us, but to save us. We thank you that it's your desire to walk with us and to empower us to live victoriously instead of to live fallen lives. And Lord, we ask right now that you would forgive us. Let us know the deep forgiveness that you've provided. We pray that you would cleanse us and that you would purify us by the blood of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you would move in our midst to change us, that through your presence with us, we would live new lives, that we would live victoriously. And Lord, if there are those moments when we slip, when we fall, when we give in to temptation, help us to realize that you're still with us. Help us not to run and hide from you, thinking that you're going to destroy us and be done with us.
Yes.
But help us, Lord, to recognize that you come to us and you confront us, but it's to restore us rather than destroy us, and to change us and to empower us that we can live victoriously. And Jesus, help us to know you better. Help us to know and grow in the fullness of your salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I don't know, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 10th time, but you just really felt like God communicated to you that I forgive you and that I'm with you, would you share that with someone after church today? And if you feel like you need some more prayer, after church today, would you talk to a brother or sister, talk to me, that we could pray with you? We'd love to spend more time in prayer. I got one more thought. Thought about the angel. What'd the angel announce? The angel announced to Joseph that the child is not from another man, and obviously not from you, from God. And what was the purpose of that child? To save. Save from our sins. And that God would be with us. Maybe God wants to make you that angel. You know what I mean? Angel, messenger. You're not going to grow wings today. But angel in terms of messenger with the news about this child. That this child is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And that this child is God's intervention, so that we are not doomed to simply living the life of fallen humanity. But we can live victoriously because this one died to forgive us of our sins. This one is God with us, not to destroy us, but to save us and to empower us to live victoriously. So, as the Spirit works upon you, be that angel this week. Let somebody know about this child and his birth and what God is doing in him. And he comes to be, I mean, we take communion every week. And we take communion because we recognize our need for God to be with us. And he is with us and he offers himself to us. And so when we receive communion, we are welcoming his presence into our lives. And we are inviting him to do the work to not simply forgive us, yes, but to do the work of changing us so that we can live victorious lives rather than merely fallen lives. And so if it's your desire to have more and more of his presence within you, more and more of his victory in your life, then this is for you. And we're kind of going to go back to pre-COVID today, that you are welcome to stand and to come and to receive the elements and then return to your place and we'll all take communion together. And Charlene and Vaughn, I'm not sure what song the Lord's placed on your heart, but I'll trust that to you. And so as they sing, I invite you to stand, I invite you to come, and once everybody has been served, we'll take communion together.
The other night at the Living Water Church Advent service, Sister Christina and I sang the song, Jesus, What a Wonderful Child, and would love to share that with you. It just seems so appropriate that he gives us life, he gives us hope, he gives us joy, he gives us peace. And we just want to sing that for you this morning. And if you know this, and even if you don't, you want to join in, please feel free to join as we just celebrate Jesus this morning and what a wonderful child he is.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lovely. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory to the newborn King. He was heralded by the angels, born in a lonely manger. The Virgin Mary was his mother, and Joseph was his earthly father. Well, three wise men came from afar. They were guided by a shining star to see King Jesus where he lay. Jesus, oh, what a wonderful child. Jesus, Jesus, so lowly, meek and mild. New life, new hope, new joy he brings. Won't you listen to the angels sing? Glory, glory, glory.
That you've accomplished. And we pray, Lord, that we will know that intervention personally in our lives, and that you would transform us from simply fallen children of Adam to your victorious children.
in Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
On the night that our Lord was betrayed, he was gathered in the upper room with his disciples celebrating the Passover meal. And Jesus took the bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." And then in like manner, Jesus took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take and drink. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." Amen. Can we sing that one more time?
Absolutely. Feel free to join in. Jesus, Jesus, oh, what a wonderful job. Jesus, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.